A month would pass before we would see any other people. It would take a while for the significance of this to sink in. From now on, our margin of safety would be thinner. After enough ice had built up to prevent travel by canoe, but before there was enough to support our weight, we would be entirely dependent on each other. This scared us a little, but also brought smiles to our faces. Being alone out here meant being utterly free.
That's Amy Freeman reading from a new book, A Year in the Wilderness, Bearing Witness in the Boundary Waters, co-written with her husband, Dave Freeman. Their book chronicles an entire year spent together in the Boundary Waters canoe area to highlight the threat of proposed sulfide mining within the wilderness watershed. I'm Jim Gallagher, and today on Paddle Minnesota, I talk with Dave and Amy about their book. I met with them on their sailboat Discovery in the harbor in Grand Marais, Minnesota. Gulls called in the background, and mooring lines creaked as the sailboat rocked gently on Lake Superior.
On the heels of your 2014 paddle to D.C. to deliver a petition canoe to legislatures, you entered the Boundary Waters to live for a year. In a nutshell, tell us about that year in the wilderness.
It was an amazing year. We entered on September 23rd, 2015, the fall equinox, and we spent 366 days. We actually got an extra day because it was a leap year. You know, living out there through all the seasons as the ice formed in November and December when the loons were leaving, and as the ice was melting in the spring as the loons returned, and all through the summer we were able to experience that slow shift of the seasons and watch all the animals and the plants and the ecosystem change, and it was something we'll never forget.
Now, after spending a year in the wilderness, you've written a book documenting this experience, and early and later in the book, you express your worst fears that people would forget about you out there. You were unsure how your work would be received. How do you feel now?
We have been amazed. You know, just doing a book signing yesterday, we had people come up to us and say, I followed you during the year, and, you know, I was so disappointed when you exited because the post stopped, and, I could no longer live vicariously through you. So anytime we hear something like that, it kind of reinforces that, yeah, we did what we set out to do. We kept the Boundary Waters on people's mind for a whole year.
Dave and Amy carried as much as a month's worth of food with them. They were resupplied periodically by a group of volunteers, some of the over 300 visitors they got during their year.
Your equipment varied with the seasons. I mean, you were out there for the whole year in a Minnesota winter and spring and fall as well. Describe how your equipment changed with the year.
Just like people brought food in, you know, those same people would bring in gear or they would take out gear. As things got cold and started to freeze, we brought in warmer clothes and warmer sleeping bags. Then once the lakes froze over, we hauled our canoe over the ice like a toboggan. And then right after Christmas, volunteers brought in supplies and they hauled our canoe out. And three sled dogs were brought in along with toboggans and skis. And so then we continued all winter traveling in that manner. And then in the spring, as the ice started to melt, two of the three sled dogs went out. We kept Tank. He would be our canoe dog for the season. The other dogs went out with the toboggans, and then we hauled the canoe over the ice as it was melting. And then once the ice was gone at the end of April, then we were traveling by canoe, just like most people do in the Boundary Waters.
They filed weekly blog posts and kept in contact with the outside world with a satellite terminal, cell phones, and computers.
We had a lot of gadgets out there that we hope actually most people don't bring when they're on a canoe trip. It's a good time for people to unplug. But because we had that mission of doing the updates and sharing the place with people, we had a satellite terminal because, you know, a cell phone doesn't work in most of the Boundary Waters. And we had solar panels to charge battery packs that we could then charge, like the satellite terminal and laptop, digital camera.
We're talking with Amy and Dave Freeman on Paddle, Minnesota on Northern Community Radio. They celebrated their 6th wedding anniversary during their year in the Boundary Waters. Life went on while they were away, and when they got visitors, it was an important event.
When you did connect with friends out in the wilderness, I mean, you weren't always alone. You had a lot of visitors, and your writing reflects a lot of happiness in those interactions. Those sounded really important to you. Did a year away from your friends change you?
Those visitors made us happy for a couple reasons. One was just the connecting with people and having conversations with new people, and whether they were dear friends or family or people that we'd never met before, you know, that really enriched things. And then I think the other reason that it made us so happy was that almost every instance where we met visitors that were bringing resupplies, they really reminded us why we were out there, because they told us stories about their wilderness experiences. They talked to us about how much they enjoyed following along, how they were using our photos and stories as a way to tell their communities about the Boundary Waters and why it was important. So, you know, I think it really was sort of on two levels that we looked forward to those visits. That was probably the biggest sacrifice that we made, was missing our friends and family and holidays and birthdays and funerals. And, you know, we missed a lot of things. That was the hardest thing to give up.
Each of your journeys has led to another, even when your path forward was unclear. You talk about that in the book. You find a way forward, you know, with some new adventure or some new project. So what's next?
Well, you know, we're still really focused on this. You know, the book just came out. We're jam-packed with speaking engagements and book signings through Thanksgiving and a lot happening over the winter as well. You know, we really feel that it's important that we continue to tell our story and elevate the Boundary Waters. So we're going to continue, you know, working with the Campaign to Save the Boundary Waters and Milkweed Editions to sort of get our book out and continue to tell this story and continue to work to protect the Boundary Waters. And, you know, I sure hope that there are future extended journeys, you know, that really feeds our soul. Sometimes we have to spend more time in cities to protect the places that we love, and I think right now we're in a place where that's what we need to do.
In March 2016, Governor Mark Dayton made a decision that would effectively halt the development of sulfide mining on state lands related to the Twin Metals mine proposal. I asked Dave and Amy if the Boundary Waters is safer now.
So this seemed like a victory in protecting the wilderness, and there seemed to be a sense of relief in your book, in your writing. And is there still a sense of relief?
Governor Dayton has really been a champion of the wilderness and has been very, very strong on this issue. And so we really appreciate his continued efforts. And, you know, I think we're in a really good place right now. The federal government just completed a comment period. There were more public comments submitted than any other comment period of this type in the state ever. So there's a lot of interest, and there's a lot of people that are saying they're very concerned about this and they want this study to go through. So this is the start of a 2-year scientific review to see if the Boundary Waters watershed, the edge of the Boundary Waters, is an appropriate place for sulfide or copper mine. This has never been done in Minnesota and has a long track record of causing significant pollution. Unfortunately, Representative Nolan and Representative Emmer and some other elected officials are pushing to try and defund that study. We feel is really a shame, because this is a very important part of understanding the impacts, both positive or negative, that this type of mining could have. So we're pushing very hard to make sure that the study does go through. This remains a very important time for people to contact their elected officials and make their voices heard. And, you know, you can go to savetheboundarywaters.org to learn more and to take action. I would say if people have called or signed petitions or done things in the past, it's not enough. We need to do it again. This is a fight that's going to continue for a long time.